today on Real Radio.
Don't put your trust or value in the things of this world. And if you do have stuff from a grain of sand or more, just manage it to the glory of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, with verses 14 through 23. You know, we've all heard the challenge to put your money where your mouth is, but when it comes to practical Christianity, it might be better said to put your money where your faith is. The book of Philippians ends with the Apostle Paul talking about giving. He's speaking to a generous church, by the way, who shared what they had to help him in his distress. Some may find the topic of giving as offensive, but to Paul, everything is sacred because his heart was in the right place before God. Paul goes even further by linking together Old Testament worship and sacrifice to the use of common everyday money. But whether it's time or money, we are to give our best to the Lord. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the power of giving teaches us about God's amazing economic structure. For God takes the temporary things of this world and transforms them into tools for His eternal kingdom. And God is inviting us as fellow workers to get involved. And now, continuing his lesson called The Power of Giving, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Transjordan Valley, agricultural wonder, flows down through the desert, goes past Jericho, heads on down, and it flows right into the Dead Sea, and that beautiful life-giving water is destroyed in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea's big, and it's wet, but it's dead. You want to know why it's dead? Because there's no outlet. Life-giving water flows into it, but it's got nowhere to go. It goes nowhere. It's the lowest place on earth. Can't go up, and it dies there. The Dead Sea. A believer can be like that. Oh, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. Look, God loves you and He wants to bless you, but why should He bless you if you're just going to be a Dead Sea? Oh, Lord, fill me up so I can be filled up. No, Lord, fill me up that I can be spilled out. Jesus said in John 7 that the Holy Spirit, who's to fill you up, wants to, out of your innermost being, gush forth like rivers of living water. The believer was designed to be a channel. The power of giving literally puts us there before the throne of God, because the moment we get involved and the moment that we begin to do these things, we're like Jesus on earth. We're doing His business. We're loving in His name, and we're doing it practically. And there'll be a day of accounting. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, the Bible says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, that is God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat, B-E-M-A, the Bema seat. Christian, raise your hand if you're a Christian. You Christian, raise your hand. Every one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, I didn't think I was going to be judged. Oh, you're going to be judged, but hallelujah, it's regarding what you've done in your body. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Whew, that's the great white throne judgment. You will not be there. Only non-believers will be at the great white throne judgment, and that is their condemnation. The Christian, you and I, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what does that verse say in Corinthians? It says that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The word is motive, good or bad motive. What was your motive behind your giving? God is going to expose our motive. And I don't know, don't panic too much about that. Just, I've learned over all these years, here's what I do. When the Bible says no man can know his own heart, do you understand that? Our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know our heart? God knows our heart. Here's the thing. Lord, I hope my motive is right in what I'm about to do. And if it's wrong, change it. But Lord, I know this. I'm going to default and do the right thing, and I'll let you judge my motive, and I pray that's the right motive. Because for me to do nothing is absolutely inexcusable. Think of it. Listen to what Leonard Ravenhill had to say. You never have to advertise a fire. Everyone comes running when there's a fire. Likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know it. In other words, when you and I leave this building today, wherever we go back home to serve the Lord, you can be like embers catching your community, catching your neighborhood on fire. By how? You say, well, my neighbors are sick of hearing about Jesus. Then don't tell them about Jesus anymore. Show them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about my motive. Forget your motive. Ask God to make your motive right and do the right thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. Isn't that amazing? What is God invites us to get involved in his work. It's like, I would not. You know, are you the kind of person that says, oh, forget it. I'll just do it myself. It's going to take me longer to explain it to you than for me to get it done. That, I'm terrible that way. That's what I'll do. I'll just do it myself, and I'm not going to tell anybody. That's not leadership. It's certainly not parenting. I need you to take out the trash, and then I need you, forget it, I'll do it myself. You'll never teach them how to take out the trash or do anything. We have to pass it along. And God says, hey, I want you to be a fellow worker with me. One time, I remember my daughter was 2.5 years old. She wanted to mow the lawn. And it took forever. But you know what? We have pictures of it, and so she claims to remember it. I think she remembers the pictures, but there she is. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, Paul says, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay, which is lay, this is Christ Jesus. By the way, the plaque I'm standing on right now has that verse right here. Can you hear that? It's beneath my feet. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or stubble, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it. That's the day of Christ. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned or burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so by fire. What does that mean? Every believer, when called upon and given an opportunity to take what they have or to go through what they're experiencing to honor Christ, you're going to pass through the judgment eye of Christ, the keen vision of Christ, and that which has been done in his name and glorifies his name will be a blessing. And please don't fix or be fixated on monetary things. I know many of you are going through very fiery trials, great difficulties, pain, suffering, fear. And you hang on to Christ, right? You're hanging on to him. And you go through that fire. You're going through that testing. You're going through that issue. And there's people watching. You ever gone through something that's very trying and you look around and there's nobody watching and you're wondering, what good is this? Sometimes, you know what? I've had to remind myself. I remember years ago when for months and months, that doctors thought I had intestinal cancer, and I was going through all kinds of tests. It's horrible. And I remember him being in some of those situations, and I'm wondering, God, how am I supposed to be a witness in this? There's nobody in the room. There's nobody here. And I don't know if this works for you or not, but I just kind of sense the Lord impressing upon my heart from the Word. He says, you know, when the Bible is taught, angels listen in and look in upon. Jack, if there's nobody around, just know angels are watching. And that was enough for me. That was enough for me. In Luke chapter 12, now listen, this is in the negative. In Luke chapter 12, verse 21, Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasures for himself, selfish, and is not rich toward God. I've got this, I've got that, I've done this, I've done the other, and God says, watch out. You want to be rich towards God. We'll see the positive of that in a moment. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Malachi 3, 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." I believe that's God's answer, as I said last time, to the welfare system. "And try me." This is the only time in all the Bible where God says, regarding this truth, you try me, test me. He's begging us, see if it's true, says the Lord. "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it." That's a challenge. God is inviting us to get involved and by doing so, be before his throne. In Luke 16, I know I'm giving you a lot of verses, but it's good for us. Luke 16, verse 10 says, Jesus speaking, "Who is a faithful or trustworthy in what is least small?" The word least here, when Jesus says, who's faithful in what's least? The word is sand, a grain of sand. Isn't that funny? Can we all not be faithful with a grain of sand? Jesus goes on to say, is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? The management of our wealth as Americans or as Christians. It's amazing. It's awesome to me that God's economy is so cool because of the conversion rate, as we've mentioned before. Four things I wrote down. I want you to think about this. I mean, I don't know if it affects you like it did me, but you know, you and I live, what time? It's exactly 15 minutes after the hour, Earth time. We live in the Pacific time zone. How do we really, by this challenge of the power of giving, affect the throne of God or affect eternity right now? How does that happen? I just wrote down four things. You may have more. When you and I worship, didn't we just worship a moment ago in singing? Did that affect God? Did we go from the Pacific time zone immediately? We left it into what? Eternity, right? Think of that. That means all around the globe, constantly, think about it. There's Christians worshiping, praising the Lord, blessing God in song and praise. From their time zone, it enters eternity, which is timelessness. Can you imagine the amount of praise that is arriving before the Lord right now? All around the world. No wonder why Satan never has a good day. Every day, worship and praise is going on. And so worship affects eternity. The second thing is this. We know that witnessing to other people immediately affects eternity. You say, how so? When you share with somebody about Jesus, the Bible says that when a sinner repents, angels rejoice. How do you put that on your clock, on your watch? When you witness, you will immediately affect eternity. Third thing, when you pray. Obviously, when you pray. The moment you pray, whatever time zone you're in goes into eternity. Is that not spiritual investments? Fourth thing is this, obviously, when you give. Somehow, when you give, it affects eternity. I don't know how, but it's a spiritual act. Verse 18, Paul says it this way. The power of giving puts us there before the throne. We each make our own deposits. Each of us make our deposits. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, and I have received from Epaphroditus the things which you sent or gave, forwarded. Number one, notice the characteristics. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. Number two, it's acceptable sacrifice. Number three, it's well-pleasing to God. Three things. When we make deposits in our eternal or heavenly account, it matters. I told you last time together that this word abound means to be super abounding. It means to have quality upon or quantity upon quantity. It's amazing. But to make deposits, We all make deposits. I don't know. Does anybody write checks anymore? I mean, I don't know. I went into the bank the other day. I didn't even know what I was doing. I could hardly find the bank for one thing. Because everything's online these days. I walked in there. It seemed so strange. It's like, oh, wow, so much has changed. And walked in there. I didn't even know how to fill out the deposit slip. And on top of it, it was a check from Canada. And I filled out the stuff. And I said, can you help me? What's this? And then I handed it. Oh, shoot, we can't do that. After all the work I just did, lady, what's the deal? It's from Canada. It's got to get clearance and all kinds of weirdness. And it's like, man, you know what? It's much easier. Christian, it's so much easier to make a deposit with God. Walk in the Spirit, right? Constantly we're making deposits. I make my own and you have to make your own. The church, though we are collective, we do it individually. Now, here's the positive to the negative I mentioned a moment ago. In Luke chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, do not lay up, make deposits for yourselves, treasures on earth. He's not saying you can't own anything. Don't put your trust or value in the things of this world. And if you do have stuff from a grain of sand or more, just manage it to the glory of God. Where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves, that's make deposits, treasures in heaven, where there neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. Look, verse 21, for where your treasure is, that is where your deposits are, there your heart will be also. Is that not true? Oh, that's so true. That's powerfully true. Paul draws from his Old Testament knowledge in this verse 18. It's awesome what he does. It's so mature. I want to be like this. He takes his knowledge from the Old Testament, being a good, faithful Jew, being a Pharisee, being the man of intelligence that he was, and he uses banking terms of the first century church. And he doesn't make any apologies. He uses verbiage from the banking world, from the investment world of his day, and he mixes it with the Old Testament practices of a sacrifice to be placed on the altar that would be consumed before the Lord. And Paul had no problem with the secular sacred division at all. It was all sacred. He makes deposits. The Bible says that pure, truthful, undefiled religion is this, that we do what? That we visit the widows, right? Take care of the fatherless. That we conduct ourselves in a way by deposits. Now, as a pastor, I want you to know that in my mind, I would like to walk up to each and every one of you and make you do something. But that would be the wrong motive on my part and on your part, right? True worship and true bringing your offering before the Lord, the throne, has got to come from that willing heart. Does God want any kind of offering from you without a willing heart? None whatsoever. None whatsoever. He says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. If you've read, and you better have read, your Old Testament, that rings true to you in a moment. Sweet-smelling aroma. Hey, that's talking about the sacrifice. That's talking about the burnt sacrifice. I did some research on this, and Erdősheim, a scholar, if you ever want to read something deep and big, Erdősheim is amazing, and he's talking about the temple. And boy, if things changed. He said, first of all, you know, the scripture teaches, by the way, that God says, bring me the fat. Did you know that? Bring me the fat and offer it up there. Number one, there's carcinogenics in the fat. Fat, physically, is not good for you. You shouldn't go around eating fat. God says, bring it to me. But Erdősheim points out that animals in those days were very different than animals today. They had very little fat in those days. They were very lean. They were very, very differently fed. And God says, number one, bring me the fat and burn it. It's just interesting that the fat has got poisons in it. God says, bring that to me. Apply that as you would. Bring me the poison. I'll take care of that for you. But isn't it interesting that when it's dedicated to God and it's burned on the altar of the Lord, it's a sweet-smelling aroma? I have a friend who's moving to Iowa. He's going to be starting You know the oils and you put them in smells?
Essential oils.
That stuff. And have you ever used some of that stuff? I mean, look, I'm not a new age kind of a person, anything like that, but I'm just telling you that God made these smells. If the lavender is in that thing and you crush it and it comes out and the smell of it, there's this little thing you buy at Bed Bath & Beyond and you put it in there and you plug it in and it starts making this smell. And I got to tell you, man, I think I'm hooked on it. Because it's, I plug the little thing, it's like, oh, wow. Listen, when your heart's right before the Lord and you're giving what you have in time and love and effort and care to others, the Lord's going, oh, wonderful. Our lives, as we live, we're supposed to smell like that, not stink, smell like that. Right? Oh, it's wonderful. God, Paul says, it's a sweet smelling aroma. Oh, the temple, the smoke going up. But do you know also it's the fat that gives the meat its taste? That's why you keep going to Carl's Jr. the way that you do. God loves it. God always asks his people to give the best to him. Friends, listen, do you have a hard time with that? Are you saying, well, I want it? That's because your heart's wicked. Why should God get the best? Let me think for a second. He made you. Everything you have is his. Well, why does God need it? He doesn't need it. You need this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called The Power of Giving, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself so that we can have eternal life. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, if you remember, we recently stepped away from our normal broadcasts and brought you some special episodes based on Bible prophecy. Now, we had such an overwhelming response that we have decided to do a few special events coming up for all of our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. They're called the His Coming Bible Prophecy Facebook Live events. They'll be live right there on Pastor Jack's Facebook page one Wednesday night a month starting September 20th, also October 25th and November 15th. You can get to Pastor Jack's Facebook page via Facebook, or you can use the link that's provided at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Come and join us for an evening of Bible prophecy where you can even text Pastor Jack right there some live questions from your phone or your computer or anywhere you're at. So don't miss out. The events will be hosted at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. So if you want to come and join us live, you could do that. These are very special events that we wanted to do for our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. So don't forget to tune in September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th for Pastor Jack's His Coming Bible Prophecy events on Facebook Live. If you'd like some more info, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that this ministry really is completely backed by you, our listening audience? Thank you so much for your continued support. Now, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. There is a simple, easy way on the app to donate to this ministry. Just to remind you once again, we are completely backed by you, our listeners. Thanks for your continued support. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.